What's good, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Boombox Guru, music commentary and music discussion for music lovers. I'm your host, LB, and we got a very good episode for you guys today. So if you don't want to miss out, tune in and keep it locked in. What's good, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Boombox Guru. I'm your host, LB, and for today's episode, we're going to be talking about five of my favorite industrial metal albums, part one. Industrial metal is one of my favorite subgenres in metal. I really dig the futuristic, post-apocalyptic, dystopian subject matter that a lot of the bands have, as well as the mechanical, robotic vibe that a lot of the bands have, as well as some of the industrial dance elements that some artists and bands provide as well. It's just an all-around genre that I really enjoy listening to on a regular basis. So I decided to do part one and give you five albums that are my personal favorites and that I highly recommend and that I think that would be great gateway albums to anybody who may not be familiar with industrial metal. So definitely you don't want to miss this episode. Stay tuned and keep it locked in. This is the Boombox Guru. Coming in at number five, we have Marilyn Manson with Antichrist Superstar. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Marilyn Manson is a band, or should I say artist, that I've only just recently started really digging into in the past year or two. You know, I remember Marilyn Manson as a kid back in the 90s because he was really huge at that time. You know, he was all over MTV, VH1, whatever you name it. He was a very controversial artist back in the late 90s and early 2000s. So you saw him everywhere. He was constantly in the news. You know, social critics always blaming him for so much. But of course, Antichrist Superstar was the record that really took him and his band to the next level. And everybody mainly knows this record for the song The Beautiful People, which I could say is arguably probably Marilyn Manson's signature song. Everybody knows The Beautiful People. I mean, it's been played everywhere. It's been in movies, it's been in commercials, it's been everywhere. Everybody knows that song. If you don't know any other songs by Marilyn Manson, you know The Beautiful People. But Antichrist Superstar is so much more than that. I mean, for one thing, it's a rock opera concept album, which Marilyn Manson, he basically used this concept, this story, as a way to kind of like be a social critic. It was like his social critique on society, because a lot of people were kind of pointing a finger at him as being like a bad influence on young children. But, you know, he was looking at a lot of the hypocrisy and a lot of these people that blamed him for so many things. And he was pretty much showing them how, well, you can't point the finger at me. There's a lot of things that you're doing within your life that is also a bad influence on kids, you know, the way you're living. But basically, Antichrist Superstar was like his rebuttal towards society. And it was the first in a trilogy of albums that formed like this story, which the next two albums, Mechanical Animals and Hollywood, would bring that whole entire story together. I mean, you can definitely go on Wikipedia and look it up and see how the story comes together, definitely. But Antichrist Superstar is just an awesome album. I think it's probably the most industrial sounding of his records, because I've listened to his other albums, and while there are elements of that industrial sound, most of them kind of fall more along the lines of like gothic rock and hard rock. But this one, it has a lot of those like mechanical elements, has a real dystopian post-apocalyptic feel to it, and it's definitely angry. You know, I haven't dug all the way deep into his discography. Basically, I haven't finished all of Marilyn Manson's records, but for the most part, I would say that this album has to be his most angriest. I think it's his most angriest vocally, emotionally, as well as sonically, because the songs on this album are extremely heavy. basically in your face, just blatantly in your face. And I think that's exactly what he was going for when he did this record. And it, you know, it's just an awesome record, man. You know, when I really decided I wanted to dig into Mance's discography, this was the first album that I picked up, because it's considered his quintessential album. And I wasn't disappointed at all. You know, of course, you know, The Beautiful People was a song that has been so overplayed nowadays. We all know it. Everybody always know it. And it's not even the best song on the record, to be quite honest with you. All the other songs on this record really make that one sound weaker. Even though it was one of the biggest singles from the album, all the other songs on the album are just so good and so brilliantly put together that it just makes that song sound like a weak link compared to what the other songs on this album does, man. Like the title song, Antichrist Superstar, and then you have the song 1996, A Little Horn, which is probably one of the more heavier songs on the record. Very abrasive. I just really dig the whole dystopian mechanical feel that this record really gives off, man. So definitely had to put Antichrist Superstar here at number 5. So then we go to number 4, which is Wisconsin Dev Trip by Static X. Now, Static X is another band that I've recently got into, probably in the last 2 or 3 years. Close friend of mine. Some of you may know him. Zake Sports and Metal Podcast. He put me onto this band. And Wisconsin Death Trip was the one album he told me, like, yo, definitely check out that record. So I checked it out. Loved it. It's awesome. Now, compared to what Antichrist Superstar was, I think the difference with Wisconsin Death Trip is that Static X, when I listen to this record, I want to have fun. That's the kind of vibe that I get from Wisconsin Death Trip. Because the industrial style that this record has more of like what they call industrial dance vibe. It's definitely got the type of beats and the tempos that make you want to dance. Like anytime I listen to Wisconsin Death Trip, I really just want to have fun. I want to dance. I want to party and just have a good time. That's the vibe that it gets, that it gives off. And most of the subject matter on this album is not that, it's not really that serious. It's not like an overarching story or some type of subliminal messaging that's trying to come across. Most of it is kind of silly in some ways. You know, there's one song here in particular called Love Dump. It's not necessarily silly, but the whole entire song is about someone taking a dump on you. And I would think that that's more in line in one of those like weird, like sexual fetishes, you know, where people like to be peed on and like pooped on. I think that's what that song is kind of alluding to, because there's this line in the song where Wayne Static, he's telling the girl that her, he's telling her that her ass smells just like a rose. I think he even refers to it as like her pooping on him is like a chocolate cake or something. It's really interesting, man. But that's what I get from this album. It's not an album that really takes itself too serious, in my opinion. I mean, don't get me wrong, the musicianship on this record is awesome. Really good music, really heavy. I think this is actually Static X's most heaviest record. And I think it's their most industrial sounding as well. Because later albums, while they still had elements of the industrial sound, they started to veer more towards like new metal, mainstream new metal. Got a bit more melodic. And then later albums started to get a bit more heavier and abrasive with like elements of thrash and a lot of heavier groove metal elements. So I would say this is the most industrial one that they've done. But it's real funny. Not real funny. You know, there's just certain songs on here that are kind of like have a sense of humor to them. Now, there's another song on here that I really enjoy called Stem, which I would say is one of the more slower, groovier songs on the record. Every time I listen to Stem, I just want to go to a strip club. That's just the vibe that song gives off. Every time I sit back and listen to that song, I kind of visualize like me being in a strip club with all these beautiful alternative women with tattoos and like dyed streaks in their hair, like giving me a lap dance. You know, that's just the vibe that I get from that song Stem, man. And this record does have a bit of the new metal elements in it as well, but it's just a lot more industrial sounding. I think Static X did a really good job as far as blending that new metal style with industrial metal compared to a lot of other bands during this time, which I think is something that really helped him to stand out, in my opinion. But Wisconsin Death Trip is definitely an awesome album that I highly recommend to anybody that's never heard it. And definitely a great album to be a gateway into industrial metal, man. So definitely check out Wisconsin Death Trip whenever you get the chance. So coming in at number three is a big favorite of mine. This is Astro Creep by White Zombie. Yes, this is the final album of original material by White Zombie. And you know, when Astro Creep came out, man, you know, White Zombie was on a roll. You know, they had just dropped their previous record, Le Sexorcisto, which did great, especially after the video. I think, was it Thunderkiss 65 when it appeared on Beavis and Butthead? Yeah, after that, the band just took off. But unfortunately, with that success came more internal problems. And, you know, a lot of people don't know that when they actually did Le Sexorcisto, the band was getting ready to break up at that point. But they started making money, so they kept going. But Astro Creep would be the final album from them. And I will say that they ended it on a high note. You know, this is a great record. Now, I will say, I think Le Sexorcisto is a better album because they were doing something that was very unique with that record. The sound that they presented on Le Sexorcisto, in my opinion, was a lot more interesting because I don't think there was any bands that sounded like they did on that record. And I still haven't heard any bands who sound like White Zombie on that record. Astro Creep, I feel like, even though I do dig the industrial sound, at this point in 1995 when this record came out, industrial metal was pretty popular. There were a lot of industrial metal bands. There were a lot of bands that were fusing that industrial sound into their music. So it kind of feels like, you know, White Zombie were following the trends as opposed to being like the trendsetters that they were on Le Sexorcisto. But that's not a bad thing necessarily because they did a great job on Astro Creep. This record was a lot more heavier than Le Sexorcisto. I think they had I think they had a lot better production on this record because they had a bigger budget. And so it gave them a lot more time to really hone in and really get the music what they wanted. You know, it just gave them a lot more time to spend with the music so they could really just make what they really wanted to make. And the subject matter on here is also a bit more kind of demented. You know, there's stuff about like weird sex and Satanism and stuff like that. Nothing to be taken too serious. It's just they were just doing something that was just kind of out there. You could really just chalk up the subject matter as being like twisted poetry. That's kind of, and if you listen to the way Rob Zombie is like delivering his vocals and the lyrics, if you read the lyrics, that's the way the lyrics read. It's like some weird, demented, twisted poetry. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. It's just, I think it was just done just to be controversial, or, you know, just to be hair raising or whatever. But it's definitely a great album. You know, like I said, even though I feel like they were kind of going for the trends at that time, they churned out an awesome album that I think is great. And there's also an interesting story behind this record too. The lead guitarist in the band at the time, Jay Younger, he actually said when I think they did the 25th anniversary for Astro Creep, he said that, you know, they really didn't want to do the whole industrial sound. He was referring to himself, Sean Usalt, the bassist, and I'm guessing John Tempesta, who's the drummer at the time. And this was the only album they did with John Tempesta as well. But he was saying that they really wasn't feeling the whole industrial sound that they went for with this record. That was more Rob. Rob was the one who had really gotten into the industrial electronic sounds. They wanted to make a like a straight up rock and roll record like they did with the previous album, La Sexta Sisto. But he said that he had to make sure that he was actually in the studio every day because Rob was literally trying to take the rest of the band off the record and just have a freaking electronic album. So that's why you kind of get the whole fusion of, you know, the industrial sounds as well as the more heavy groove metal sounds that were on the previous record. You know, he just said that he had to stay in the studio every day to make sure that the band was still on there. But, you know, I thought that was an interesting fact considering that, you know, most of the band didn't want to do that. And yet it happened and they turned out a good record. I just wanted to mention that. But yeah, Astro Creep 2000, yo, this is definitely a record. If you don't know anything about industrial metal or you definitely want to get into this subgenre, definitely pick up Astro Creep 2000 because this record is easy to find. It's still widely available. You can still find it in the record stores. You can still find it online for a very reasonable price. It's an easy record to come across and to pick up. So definitely pick up Astro Creep 2000. Now coming in at number two, we have Fear Factory with The Manufacturer. Now this has to be one of the heaviest industrial metal albums that I've ever heard. Very extreme. And I think a lot of it owes to the fact that Fear Factory, although they are commonly referred to as an industrial metal band, I think it's also worth a mention to note that these guys also, they started out as more of like extreme metal. They took a lot of their influences from grindcore and death metal. If you ever listen to their first album, Soul of a New Machine, it's not necessarily industrial. It takes a lot of influence from like Napalm Death and Morbid Angel and Godflesh. A lot of those extreme elements are implemented on that record. But The Manufacturer was the first record where they really started to bring in that industrial sound. As a matter of fact, I believe Reese Fulber, who is a member of Frontline Assembly. Frontline Assembly is one of the premier industrial bands out here. I think he produced a few of the songs on here, or he was a part of the production and mixing. He even played keyboards, I believe, on this record. But he helped to usher in that sound into Fear Factory's music. But they still retained the extreme elements of the previous record. And this is considered their best record. It follows the concept of man versus machine. The band took a lot of their inspiration from the Terminator movie. And, you know, the Terminator is one of my favorite franchises of all time. But this is just a really great record. And I want to say that The Manufacturer, what really set Fear Factory apart with this record is that if you notice, most industrial metal bands, they tend to sound like industrial bands who are borrowing from metal. But in Fear Factory's case, especially with this record, they were actually a metal band who were taking influences from industrial. So it was in reverse. Because when you listen to Fear Factory, and like I said, even though they're commonly referred to as an industrial metal band, you definitely get that metal, that extreme metal first, then the industrial sounds. And that's one thing that I feel that really sets Fear Factory apart from a lot of bands. It almost feels like that they go in with like the thrash metal or the groove metal or whatever extreme metal they want to implement into their sound. And then afterwards, they come in and they start to bring in the more electronic industrial elements. So they're definitely a metal band first. And I think that's how it really set them apart from what most industrial metal bands were doing at the time. And it's definitely why I think that The Manufacturer is one of the premier albums of this genre, man. So if you're somebody that wants to get more on the heavier extreme side of industrial metal, I highly recommend that you check out The Manufacturer, because it's an awesome album, a masterpiece. So, last but definitely not least, we come to number one. And I did a review on this album on my podcast. I think it was like episode what, 5 or 6. It was one of those earlier episodes. Definitely go check out this review of this album. But for number one, I had to go with Strapping Young Lad's City. And like Fear Factory's The Manufacturer album, this is a very unique record, because this band had their own industrial metal sound. City doesn't sound like any other industrial metal record. I mean, as unique as The Manufacturer is, you know, it's City sets itself apart from that, because, you know, Devin Townsend, he's the front man, he's the leader, and he took industrial metal and he fused it with like progressive metal. He fused it with thrash, some death metal, but he also added in like these beautiful atmospheric ambient sounds. And he managed to be extreme, aggressive, and heavy, but still add melody to a lot of the songs on this record. And it's just a very unique record. I just don't think there's any industrial metal record out there that sounds like City. It's just, when listening to this album is like witnessing like the most beautiful artwork out there. And I know that may sound a little corny to some people by me saying that, but it's definitely a masterpiece of a record. And I can understand why it's even today, it's still being heralded as such a great album, not just in industrial metal, but just in music period, because it's definitely, it's wonderful music, man. Like the way he was able to add those ambient sounds, those melodic atmospheres, it's just amazing, man. It just definitely just set the standard high, in my opinion, man. I don't think there's any album out there that could really top this one as far as industrial metal, man. And you know, those mechanical sounds and the aggression and anger that Devin evoked on this record, while also contrasting it with the beautiful melodies, was just amazing. And it's a work of brilliance, in my opinion. And it's, you know, I think that if more people outside of the metal community really dug into this record, they would really see the genius behind what was done here, man, because I just don't think there's any record out here that sounds like this record, man. It's just so awesome. And you know, like, and as far as like me talking about heaviness but melody, you know, the last song on the album called Spirit, which is the slowest song on the record, a very slow, droning, mechanical record, it just has this beautiful melody and ambient sound that it's just mind-blowing when you listen to that song. But this whole entire album is just, it's just wonderful, man. And you know, Devin Townsend, man, everybody knows Devin Townsend. He's a musical genius. And he definitely showcased that. He definitely showcased his abilities and what he's really capable of with this record, City, man. So definitely go check out City. And then this is another album that it's pretty easy to find. You know, I don't know if it's still in print, but I know you can definitely find copies of City on Amazon and eBay and so forth. Definitely go pick up this record, because I mean, it's a work of art, man. You know, this is the type of album where you realize like, hey, man, music is art, because that's the way that this record is put together and that's the way that it plays, man. It's just a great record. So, yeah, that's my list. These are my 5 favorite industrial metal albums, part one. I'm definitely going to do another one and give you my next 5 albums, because there's other albums on here, but I just didn't want to make a whole long video. I wanted to like split it up, you know, and just give you like my first 5. These are the albums that like really got me more into the genre. So you could say that these records were my gateway into really digging more into industrial metal. So I just wanted to like make this list and put it out there for anybody out there who may not be familiar with industrial metal. I wanted to give you my personal five albums that I feel are extraordinary and definitely will be great gateways into people digging more into that subgenre. And I had like three honorable mentions. One of them is Pig Walk by Stuck Mojo. I thought about putting that on here, but the thing is, I don't know if you could really call that just an industrial metal album, because Stuck Mojo was more known, they were more known as a rap metal band. And this album, while they did have industrial metal elements, that's not what it all was. You know, it was groove, thrash, and other elements that were implemented into that sound. And fun fact, Devin Townsend also produced that record, or co-produced that record. Then there's Super Sexy Swinging Sounds by White Zombie and Remanufacturer by Fear Factory. Great albums, but they're really just remix albums. Super Sexy Swinging Sounds is a remix album of Astro Creep, and Remanufacturer is a remix album of Demanufacturer. I mean, they sound good. They're good records. They sound great, but you know, they're just remix albums of already previous records. But I just wanted to drop those in as honorable mentions. And yeah, man, I hope you guys really dig this list that I did. And I hope I inspire somebody out there who may not know about industrial metal to want to check more out. And yeah, definitely be on the lookout for the next episode where I give you my next five. And there could be even more. There could be even more, man, because I think I got quite a bit of albums that fall under the industrial metal category. So there could be a part three possibly. But yes, thank you all for taking the time to tune in to this episode, as well as to tune into other episodes. I really appreciate everybody out there that's been listening to the podcast. Yeah, really appreciate the support. And until next time, hope everybody be blessed, be safe. Love, peace, and music. Peace out. Boom Boss Guru. I just want to take the time to say thanks to everybody for tuning in to this week's episode. Hope you really enjoyed the content. If you did, please be sure to follow me on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Anchor, all at The Boombox Guru. You can also follow me on Instagram at The Boombox Guru. You can like my Facebook page, The Boombox Guru. Be sure to tell your friends, your family, anybody that you know that may be interested in music commentary, music discussion. Be sure to tell them, like the page, follow the pages, share it. Just really help to promote and get me out there, everybody. And as always, I hope you all have a good day and you be blessed. Peace out.